at one of my previous assignments. I'd been there for about a year, and there was this young couple who was coming to Mass regularly for the last 6 months or so. And one day they approached me after Mass and they said, "Father, we'd love to get together sometime for dinner. Would you have an opportunity?" I said, "That'd be great. I'd be delighted." So a few weeks later, we went out to dinner together. And I had noticed that the young gentleman, they were probably in their early 20s. He was very reverent, very pious at Mass. You could tell he was a faithful Catholic man. The girl, I could tell she knew some of the prayers. She'd say the Our Father and other prayers. But when she would come up for communion, she'd always cross her arms. So either she was a Catholic not ready to go to confession, or she was a Christian who did not fully embrace the Catholic faith. So I get together with them, we go out to dinner, and they say, "Father, we've decided, we've just got engaged, we'd like to get married, would you help us with the marriage preparation process?" "Absolutely, of course, I'd love to. Can you tell me a little bit about yourselves?" The girl says, "Well, Father, I'm sure you can tell I'm not Catholic." She says, "But I'm really, really thinking about it. You know, I'm discerning, should I enter RCIA next year?" She said, "I'm a Calvinist. I come from a family, a long, long time family of faithful Calvinists." She's the first Calvinist I've ever met, the only Calvinist I've ever met. So I said, "Okay." I said, "You know, I'm not familiar with that religious denomination." She said, "Well, the more I come to the Catholic Church, the less I want to be associated with it. There's some things that I just love about the church that are so attractive about her teachings." And I said, "Well, can you share some with me?" She said, "Well, my Calvinists, we believe in double predestination." How many of you have ever heard of double predestination? Okay, one. Okay, I've never heard of it before. I said, "I'm sorry?" She said, "Double predestination, we believe, Calvinists believe, that God created some people to go to heaven, and he created some people to go to hell. That there's no free choice in the matter. That it's merely fate." And I remember thinking to myself, "Oh, how dreadful, right? What?" And then she goes on to say, as if she was reflecting to herself but speaking out loud, she says, "You know, it really is a bleak outlook." She said, "That's probably..." And she was not trying to be funny and saying it. She really meant... She said, "It's probably why amongst all Christian denominations, we have the highest percentage among our constituency of suicides." When our Lord gives the parable about the weeds and the wheat, when he says that the good seed are the children of the kingdom and the weeds are the children of the evil one, is he speaking of double predestination? Are we all merely fated with no free will of our own to decide our path? This is why we must remember that when our Lord is speaking parables, they're parables. They give an aspect of reality. Certain elements of the truth are conveyed, but no parable, no story could ever give the fullness of the truth. It's why a person, when we read sacred scripture, we have to read it in its entirety. We can't just take a tiny little section of it and think, "Oh gosh, that must mean what he meant for everything." As Catholics, what do we believe about salvation? That God desires the salvation of all. It's what Scripture teaches if you read it in its fullness. Our Lord Jesus Christ died for everyone. Timothy, in his first letter, he himself says, "God our Savior wills that all men be saved and come to the fullness of the truth." That all men be saved. Does everyone go to heaven? It is a very popular opinion in the times that we live in, and I think most people believe that. That in the end, everyone is saved. My brothers and sisters, we can hope for that. We can pray for that. But I think if we're honest with ourselves in reading sacred scripture, it's a very hard opinion to hold. There was a bishop in the early church, in the Catholic Church, who taught that at the end of time, when all is said and done, even the fallen angels, anyone that's in the netherworld, all will be reunited with God and everything will be wonderful. The church came out and condemned that theory. They said that is not consonant with sacred scripture or sacred tradition. But my brothers and sisters, what is the hope? If there is no such thing as double predestination, if God desires the salvation of all, it means that even if someone is on the wrong path in this life, so long as a person is alive, there is hope for conversion. God wants everyone to go to heaven. And He wants all of us to participate in this process. In this last year, I read an excellent work on the life of St. Maximilian Kolbe called A Man for Others. And just to share two brief instances of his life. Maximilian Kolbe is the saint who died in Auschwitz. He was a Franciscan priest who gave his life in place of a married man so that that man might return home to his family, God willing, if he survived Auschwitz. And the man did survive and returned home to his wife. Maximilian Kolbe, he gets to Auschwitz, and they had a special cell for all the priests. And they were told that as priests, they would be treated in a different way than the others because they were better than the others. So the special treatment they got was greater punishment than all the other people in the camp. So one day, Maximilian Kolbe, one of the SS guards that day for their labor, he had Maximilian Kolbe wheeling a wheelbarrow. He filled it so heavy that he could hardly lift it on the ground to even budge it, and he had to go at a great distance. So one of the other priests, feeling sorry for Maximilian, he runs over to help him out because he can see he's perspiring profusely. He runs over and tries to help him. Immediately, the SS guard is infuriated. He runs over, he says, "Okay, do you know what you get for your good deed? 10 lashes apiece. Who wants to go first?" So the priest who tried to help him said, I'll take it first. That priest survived, and this is what he wrote afterwards. "The lashes were so incredibly painful that I was yelling bloody murder. When my punishment was done, Father Kolbe received his own. To my amazement, he did not utter a single groan, although he must have suffered atrociously. When the infliction was over, he not only ordered him to move that wheelbarrow again, but to move it with me sitting on top of the load. Father Kolbe looked at me and said, to console me, 'Hank, let's offer all this suffering to the Mother of God. Let them see that we are her servants.'" Before I tell you why he offered it to the Mother of God, one more brief instance. When Maximilian Kolbe arrived in Auschwitz, he was still wearing his Franciscan habit with the rosary attached at the side. As soon as he got to the camp, the SS guard runs over, grabs hold of his rosary in anger and says, looking at the crucifix, "Do you believe this nonsense?" Maximilian Kolbe responded calmly, "Yes, I believe." The man struck him in his face and said, "I ask you, do you believe this?" Maximilian Kolbe responded serenely, "Yes, I believe." This went on for 10 minutes. Until finally the guard, realizing that he could not break him, walked away in anger. He looked at me. Again, this is one of his brother priests writing. "Because I was shaking, he says, 'Please do not be disturbed. You have enough to worry about on your own. All of this God Himself allowed. Let's give it to Our Lady.'" He wrote to all his Franciscan brothers a week before entering Auschwitz, knowing that he would go there, "Let us promise to let ourselves be led more and more completely how and where the Mother of God wishes, so that fulfilling our duty to the utmost, we may through love save all souls." Why did Maximilian offer all his suffering to Our Lady? That she could use it for the salvation of souls. My brothers and sisters, as Christians, we share our Lord's mission of salvation. He calls us, knowing that there are people in this world who are not on the path to heaven. Maybe our family members or our friends, that we might do what we can that they might be saved. By the way we live, by the way we speak, by the influence of our lives. If there are people in our lives who we know are struggling, let's ask for the grace in this Mass that we will do what we can to assist them on the path to heaven. If there are relationships that we are involved in that are preventing us from going to heaven, let's ask for the grace that those relationships might be changed. May we do all like Maximian Kolbe for the salvation of souls.